What's up, guys?
What's up?
BitConnect.
I love BitConnect.
Gosh, golly.
That's one of my favorite memes. It's so great.
Anything new?
Man, not too much.
So, for those of you who weren't here last week,
drama.
Neither were we.
Yeah.
So, if it seems like we're recording two episodes in a row,
it's
this
all
episode
in your imagination.
And next episode, that's clearly not true.
It's just your interpretation of it.
It's not like our equipment broke and we had to take a whole week off. Totally fucking with our schedule.
Yep.
But hey, we're back up. We're back running. And I ordered a couple extra of those.
Oh, word.
So,
yeah, it's probably,
you know,
the
most to be the part that breaks. Yeah.
Probably smart idea.
Yeah, right? That way, if it happens again, we can just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anything new since last week when I saw you guys?
I had off yesterday.
Oh, nice. For Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice.
High holy day.
And when did they make up that holiday?
I don't know. Probably when they made up the Holocaust.
Oh, okay. I don't think those two are linked.
Oh, my God. We're already...
You heard it here. Jay doesn't believe in the Holocaust.
We're deep stating it.
This is already on fire, and I want to leave.
Have you guys started your QAnon research for the QAnon
A little bit,
episode?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool. It's going to be in three weeks.
But I'm telling you, it's
now.
So inside baseball, like... You have to, they use all these coded terms.
Yeah.
So.
And Brandon doesn't understand baseball to begin with. So.
I know.
It's really difficult.
It's really hard.
Actually, if there's one sport I do know and like is baseball.
Really?
Yeah. I've probably been to the, I always like watch the World Series. If the Yankees are in, like, I definitely.
So you're watching it right now?
Yes.
Who's winning?
The Yankees.
They always are. It was a good bet. Good bet, Brandon. You went with the favorite.
But when it's local, they're, you know.
Somebody like... just got knocked out last night.
Who was it? The shit.
Brandon loves baseball.
The Cardinals? Was the
Cardinals? I don't know. I don't follow
baseball. Ooh, close. It's a red based team. They have red in their.
Oh man.
In their colors.
The Angels. The Red Sox.
No, closer though. I think.
Hmm.
They move out of the way of things.
The Dodgers.
Thank you, Jay, who loves baseball also. Well,
what do you say? I don't know shit about sports, but I know a little bit about baseball.
Brandon knows New York baseball.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Only New York baseball, no other New York sports.
Yeah, no, of course.
Who plays left field for the Yankees right now?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
I knew
this
like
has been Brandon's baseball corner with Brandon.
Hey, who was at a Yankees game most recently? This fucking guy.
You were clearly paying attention.
I was real drunk. It was really fun, though.
This is why I think you would love wrestling, Brandon, because you go to sports games to get drunk.
It's just the event. I love going to the event.
So you would love it.
I totally do.
Wow. All right. Well, next time you go to a wrestling thing, Jay, make sure to bring Brandon.
I will, and you're coming, too.
Dude, that would really actually... I would go. I'm not going to lie. That would be really fun.
We should all go once wrestling gets decent.
Chloroform me and put me in a van.
Oh, it would be fun.
I would go.
It would be fun.
I would have no choice but to go.
Come on.
No, I'd go just for because I've never been to a wrestling match.
It'd be a fucking lark.
Much less a fake wrestling match. I mean, it could be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Well, not right now, but...
Yeah.
What's so wrong right now?
I mean, so I'm only intermittently...
I can't believe I asked that question. Anyway,
I'm only intermittently following it, but the last was... They had the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, which is like the big blow-off. Like, Hell in a Cell is like the huge...
A lot of Christians.
Shit. Yeah, really.
It's
so
a boycott now. They're main fan base.
Westboro Baptist Church is like protesting.
No, it's supposed to... The whole thing for Hell in a Cell is like, it's a giant cage that they put around the ring, and it's meant to like... When you have a blow off to a feud, when you've had a feud that's been going on for a long time,
yeah, like this is the show.
We're gonna settle it. Someone's gonna get pinned, and that's it. There's no disqualifications, no referee stoppages, nothing because like we hate each other. We're just gonna
no
go
holds
at it.
Barred?
It is a no holds barred inside a giant cage.
All right,
and it ended with a referee stoppage. So it's like. Why make it a Hell in a Cell match then? And it's just fucking... That's stupid booking.
Troll the audience, Jay.
You thought it was no holds barred and the referee stopped it.
And the referee...
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Expectations subverted. They Ryan Johnsoned you.
They did.
They really did.
He's taking his page out.
He's writing for the WWE.
That
They've
explains
got him
it.
Writing the scripts for the...
Oh, man.
It's like they got the best talent that they've ever had and they just can't get out of their own way.
The best talent they've ever had?
Yeah, like from an athleticism and like a pure talent wrestling-wise standpoint, yeah, 100%. This is the best talent WWE, way better than the Attitude Era. They just can't get out of their way story-wise, and that's what's killing them.
Interesting. I would have, you know, knowing nothing about wrestling, I would have expected you to have a soft spot in your heart for the nostalgia days of wrestling.
I love the Attitude Era, but this is objectively better talent than the Attitude Era. Matches can be better, but like if you don't have the story behind it, it's not as... it's not as impactful.
You don't keep the pantomime up.
So I feel like the quality of writing has just gone off a cliff in like everything.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like Game of Thrones was like the thing that everyone was like, oh man. Like, because it's been Game of Thrones has been going on for 9 years, and you could watch the writing just got lazier lazier. Yep. I feel like that's the time capsule of like our, if you want to do a cross section of our time, of just like the downward trend
and then
quality
the season of
storytelling.
Game of Thrones happened.
Yeah.
And the country was never the same.
It's not going to be. Jesus. Anyway, I don't want to talk about Game of Thrones any more than I want to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, fair enough.
So you really want to talk about wrestling?
I do not.
No, right. We're closing the book on that one for tonight.
I will if I have to, but I'd rather talk about anything.
You have to, because we watched wrestling.
So colonoscopies.
Yeah,
boy, are those interesting.
More pleasant than wrestling.
Yeah.
More pleasant than talking about wrestling.
I have some paint that dried recently behind me.
I know, it's really interesting.
I know, right?
It's
you guys
really
want to talk about that?
I mean, do you just want to watch it? Like,
I'm going to get a camera and post a video.
Time lapse.
Because, yeah, the time lapse of... Seriously, though, that is a good paint job. Right?
I mean, it's very good.
It's like you couldn't even tell there was an air conditioner in that wall.
Whatever you say, Dave, it looks great.
I mean, are you disagreeing?
Our audience is like, yeah.
Does it look
like shit?
You couldn't... If I brought you in here, you had no idea, and I said, hey, where was the air conditioner?
I was here.
You'd have no idea.
I would say right there.
You'd be wrong.
Right there.
Slightly,
I'd be right.
It was slightly to the left of where you're pointing.
No, it looks good. Looks great. Looks like a wall.
See? Yeah. Exciting. And aren't you glad we stopped talking about wrestling?
Actually, this is more
continue,
fun.
Guys. By all means.
What do you guys want to talk about? It's not like we watched any good movies lately.
I mean,
shebang!
Oh, that was quick.
I know, right? Oh, shit. We got two episodes to do tonight.
We do. We gotta
crank these bitches out.
Yeah, we do.
Besides, we gotta save some witty banter for the second episode.
We do. We could save some.
I'm already out of witty banter.
It's a small tank, so.
Got him! Boom!
You had so much more to contribute.
Right there, thanks, I had a little left.
That was your reserve tank. Yep. In case of emergency. Flip the switch on that.
Bing! Bing!
Go ahead.
Are we...
No, go ahead. Vape your vapes while they're still legal.
Still can.
Yep, before the government knocks down your doors and takes them from you.
Hey baby, I hear the NAFcast calling with Brandon and Jay and Dave. They may seem a bit confused, well maybe, but they got hot takes. And they don't know what to do with all these Democratic candidates. Bernie's running again. Retcons, reboots, and requels! Nobody asked for this!
I mean, why are we legislating vaping?
I know. Of all the things.
Why are we legislating anything, Jay? It's a good point. Go on.
We should have no legislation and it should just be completely lawless.
Thank you. Anarchy. Anarchy is the way to go, clearly.
Anarcho-libertarians. Mm-hmm. That's it.
The crazy thing is when somebody says anarcho and there's a dash there with something else, I'm like, no, you're done.
Because
once you say anarchy...
In my head, too, you're like, rules are off. That's
how do you
the
staple
point.
Anything else it's, to that?
Yeah.
Anarcho, I'm not interested in anything else you have to say because anarchy.
Anarchy.
Like, but I am in for the anarchy.
Right. It's, at that point, it's chaos. Yeah. Anarchy is chaos. So you can't organize it with like a second half of that hyphen. It's just, I've never had anyone be able to explain that.
I think a lot of times it's used to be like throwing off the yokes of the current system. Like it just means that in that context with a hyphen.
Yeah.
It's not proper because anarchy means anarchy. Yeah. But like they mean like basically starting from the ground up with nothing and creating their... anarcho-social,
so it's like a reset.
I feel that's how they kind of mean. Yeah,
that's dumb.
Yeah. Of course they mean smaller scale, but like they mean even if they rebuild whatever, it's not going to be like the massive government that we have now. It's typically woven into the word anarchy.
Well, I'm down with that.
Yeah,
bring it back to the states. We got another civil war. Let's get that going. Anyway, I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon,
and I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
a podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
Thought you were going off script because there's no script.
I just kind of blanked. Sorry.
Okay, I gotcha. This week, Psycho. The original, 1951?
No, that was what we just watched.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm getting confused now. I know. 1960-something? The original Psycho. It was black and white.
Yeah, Alfred
so
Hitchcock.
So it's old.
Yeah, it's an old movie.
I mean, they were color films.
Al Hitch.
Psycho and...
Al Hitch. That's what all his friends call him.
Albie Hitch.
And Psycho.
Alfie Hitch.
We watched the old Psycho, and then we watched the new Psycho from 19...
23... Was it... Or... 1990...
I this is the
like
90s.
2000.
Or was it 2000? I don't know. New Psycho, same as the old Psycho.
1960 and 98. Let's get it.
1960 and 1998. I'll get it right in the show notes. Thoughts and feelings, gentlemen.
I have seen the original multiple times, and I still adore it. It's Alfred Hitchcock. Like, his movie making is still so tight.
Brandon loves it tight.
You don't.
I just don't talk about it. Brandon came right out with it.
My filmmaking.
JD, you
my
like
filmmaking
tight?
Especially.
What?
I mean, huh?
No, loose.
Okay.
Like roast beef.
Oh, man. Wait.
Wait,
oh, you guys
are
making
doing
this
to
a
your
sexual thing?
What are you doing to your lunch meats? Man. Oh, my God.
I was talking about movies.
But how? Yeah, me too.
So
what,
was I.
What was Jay talking about?
Talking about filmmaking.
All right. So, Jay, go
it's
on.
Inside,
tell us how
it's
this
inside
movie
baseball, Dave. You wouldn't
about
get
roast
it.
Beef. We already figured out that you guys don't know shit about baseball.
And then the new one was kind of unnecessary.
Okay, Jay?
Extremely unnecessary.
It's just unnecessary.
Oh, extremely.
It was an interesting experiment by that director. The guy did Good Will Hunting.
I think we're all on the same page that the remake was unnecessary is an interesting word for it. That's not what I would have said, but I agree with that.
Like it just didn't.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't great. It didn't.
No.
It didn't do anything amazing.
It didn't pop, if you will.
No. It certainly didn't. Well, part of I don't know if obviously it was this is the intent, but the fact that it was a shot for shot remake,
shot for shot, almost word for word,
did not help in my opinion.
No, I went and made a sandwich during it. I was like, yeah,
it's a movie that
and,
didn't.
I know exactly what
something
happened.
Something like that. Like, what's the point of? It's not that the original Psycho was perfect, but it was pretty damn pretty close to a perfect movie.
You know what they could have used in the original Psycho? Color.
Yeah, that's really the pitch, right? What if Psycho but color?
What is in color? Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's how they got around the Hayes Code with the like chocolate sauce for blood. Like
it is. You're absolutely right.
Couldn't show okay. blood.
See, that's what I thought the movie like the everything was so muted
mm-hmm.
that I was like, oh, if you could see the color, if the blood was in color, no, I do
it
feel
was
like
totally purposeful.
It would have. I didn't realize that, but that's mm-hmm. a good point. I do think it would have made it pop. A little bit more.
I mean, I'm with you. We're modern children, and like,
sure.
whenever we watch a black and white movie, we just kind of glaze over a little bit. It happens no matter what. Like
the scene where the blood is swirling down the drain,
mm-hmm.
like you couldn't even tell there was blood swirling down the drain in the black and white version. I just thought it was water. And then when they did
it was bad fake blood.
The remake, and there was the blood swirling down the drain, I was like, oh, that's a cool little effect. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if I could have seen that effect in the original.
I will say, if you watch any other Alfred Hitchcock movie that is in color, like North by Northwest, that's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. His stuff, I love Alfred Hitchcock. Like, he was a crazy motherfucker, but his movies are, they're like filmmaking 101. Like, there's so many great techniques he used and so much to learn from each of them. And this one, of course, was very tight. Like, it felt almost like an episode of the show, though. Do you remember his old Alfred Hitchcock Presents?
I don't.
It was a black and white TV show. It was like Outer Limits, but suspense stuff. It was just individual stories each time. And this felt like an extended episode of that.
And I miss the Outer
It
Limits.
Makes sense. It's almost like Twilight Zone-y.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's like a little weird. It's mm-hmm. it's not scary, but it's like creepy.
Yeah.
It's unsettling.
Let's talk about Anthony Perkins as Norman Bates.
The original Norman Bates.
Nailed it.
Yes.
He is
it. Yes.
Norman Bates. He's so unsettling, but also like innocent at the same time. You know, like
he's an affable guy.
Exactly.
Is what it is, where in the remake,
Vince Vaughn
is like
neurotic.
He's playing too weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yes.
The charm of Bates is that he's so nice. A nice guy.
Right.
It's just a mother. That's great.
In the original, he just seemed a little off.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was awkward.
Yeah.
But in the remake, he seemed like kind of a weirdo.
He seemed like a Hannibal
beginning.
Lecter. Like
yes.
Right. Not even
like he was very sinister.
It was just like, oh, this guy is a serial killer as soon as you meet him.
And you could tell he was trying to mimic a lot of the mannerisms.
Yeah.
And it just didn't play as well.
I normally like Vince Vaughn back in those times, like in the 90s. And the
I like Vince Vaughn in a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't love him nowadays. But up until like mid-2000s, I thought he was fantastic.
What's he been in lately?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what I really
a lot
didn't
of
like
bad comedies. You know what I mean?
I really didn't like him in the second season of That cop show? True Detective?
Yeah.
That was, to me, that was like Vince Vaughn's worst performance.
Really? Yeah, see what I mean? Like, he's just falling off a little bit.
Yeah. But he, back then, like,
it was
Made
like Swingers. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Swingers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the great. Loved him in that stuff. And this was right around that time.
Yes, it was.
But this character just did not do it for me.
So did Anne Heche as Marion Crane. She was not good.
Is that the original lady who gets murdered?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
She apparently she'd never even seen Psycho before taking the role.
Also,
which is weird when you're going to do a shot for shot, right?
Yeah. You would think
you would think you would try to hire somebody who was familiar or had a passion for the material, like, because you're going to find
someone. Good actress,
yeah,
or like, you know, any one of those things, really.
Yeah,
I did like all the stuff I liked. It's weird because I liked it in the original, and then I like the remake does the same thing, so I want to like it.
But it's harder.
Especially watching them like almost back to back, you can't help but obviously compare them because it's a shot for shot remake.
It's like,
so when you see the original portrayal of the woman when she leaves work and she steals the money, and you first realize she's stealing the money.
I'm glad you got to experience the, like, because you really didn't know the plot of this. I mean, you kind of knew that. You know, somebody.
I knew there was a murder in a shower.
And like, but beyond that, it took you on a ride. Like, you were like, oh, twist. Oh shit, she's stealing $40,000. Like,
and maybe that was the problem. Like, if I had seen the Vince Vaughn one without seeing the original, it might have taken me for more of a journey.
Probably, because it would have been the first time you saw that narrative. And
but seeing the first one and then the remake, I was just kind of like, okay, well, I already know all this is going to happen.
And it's not,
there's no surprises left.
Not Alfred Hitchcock.
And this is boring.
Like, it's not Alfred Hitchcock. It's,
yeah,
it was like Gus Van Sant or whatever, the guy who did Good Will Hunting and a couple others. He's like an Oscar winning actor or director.
Oh, okay. Well, fell short on this one.
Yeah.
So
he's made kind of artsy movies too since then, like Elephant, which is really rough.
It's an interesting concept too, where you kill your main character like
that was the twist through the movie. That was like so unconventional for the time.
Well, there was what did they do? I read about it and now I'm gonna get it wrong.
Oh, the whole thing where like
they wouldn't let anybody
leave once the movie had started,
and you couldn't get in. They wouldn't let anybody post. Like, once the movie started, that was it. You weren't getting
doors
in.
Doors were essentially they would have, like, ushers there who were like, you can't go in.
If you showed up later.
They did the same thing with Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah. And Planet of the Apes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yep. I guess that was a thing back then, because it used to be more regular that people would come in halfway through a movie, and then you'd stay till the end, and then you'd watch the beginning, because the movies just ran constantly. That's where the phrase, this is where I came in, comes from. You ever hear somebody say that? When they go to leave someplace, they're like, oh, this is where I came in. The conversation's getting stale. It's getting rehashed. We're talking about the same thing over and over. So it used to be a phrase, because it used to be people would get up during the movie and be like, oh, this is where I came in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep, that's where that phrase comes from.
Interesting.
I know it's not really used today so much, but back in the day, I remember hearing that when I was a kid.
Huh.
It was like you'd kind of hear that as like a tongue-in-cheek thing in TV shows and a sitcom like Friends.
Hmm.
Well, this Chandler would be like, oh, this is where I came in.
Hmm. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I've heard it in context a couple times.
Yeah.
All right.
That's where that phrase comes from.
Interesting. Yeah, we're all learning today, guys.
I know, right?
I mean, that's the beautiful part about Alfred Hitchcock movies is like they tend to have just all... He was a convention breaker through and through. All the time.
The cross-dressing?
Oh, yeah.
That was
huge.
And he caught shit for that.
Just fucking seeing a toilet. That was huge. You never saw a toilet flush on screen.
Yeah, toilet flush on screen. You're right.
That was like, he was very proud of that. Yeah.
Wow, that's such a weird thing.
It was.
To be like,
the Hays Code was fucking weird.
Yeah. There was one thing that he cut or reshot. I can't remember what it was. But like most of the shit that you're like, toilet flushing, the cross-dressing, it doesn't fucking matter.
Now I think you'd get a lot of heat for that. If your murderous psycho villain was a cross-dresser?
I don't necessarily
think
so.
I think it's been well established at this point that
cross-dressers are murderers.
You're going to do the Norm Bates thing.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a precedent for it in the 60s. So
there's a precedent for it?
Yeah, like it was in a famous movie, so I don't think you're going to get shit for that.
Yeah, like it's been well.
Oh no, I mean,
well,
if that movie never existed and came out today, if this movie was released today, I don't think you
would raise an eyebrow or two. But
yeah,
I think
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd cause a lot of heat. There'd be a big stir. I mean, just the movie The Joker is causing a lot of shit, apparently. And I haven't seen it. From what I heard, it's not super controversial.
No, it's not. From what I hear too.
But everything is controversial now. Yeah, everybody has something political to complain about with everything. So,
what's the deal with The Joker? I feel like I read something about there were threats at a theater.
No,
I
don't know. People were expecting that because of the
shooting at
Aurora.
Thank you.
But I thought it was more like because of the Batman.
That's the movie.
Oh, is that the Aurora?
The Aurora shooting.
Okay. I don't know why specifically with the Joker, but I guess there was an instance of like one guy being drunk in the theater and being asked to leave or something.
I'm sure there were minor things here and there, but like, there weren't any like explosions of violence.
Frankly, I don't know. Everyone I've spoken to in person who's seen it says it's really good.
Yeah.
And all I've heard is that there's a lot of like controversy and uproar about it, but I really don't know.
It's a non-controversy.
It's
a non-controversy. Yeah. Everybody expected it to be a thing, and it's totally not.
That's a great word.
The movie's
everything's a non-controversy today.
The movie's like level-headed. It's not just like being edgy for edgy's sake. Like it's about mental health and classism. Apparently, like it's a thing. So it's like a well-made movie.
I haven't seen it, but everyone
says
it's great.
I would like to see it, but maybe rental.
I
don't go to the theater for a lot of things.
Like I go see King of the Monsters in the theater, but like giant.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily a movie.
You're so weird.
Like Joker's not necessarily a movie.
You know what I mean?
That you need to see in the theater.
No.
You're like King of the Monsters,
Yeah, like you want to see that on a big screen.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Joaquin Phoenix that big.
No.
Weird. You go to the theater for a monster movie, but not for something like The Joker, which is apparently this massive cultural thing. But all right,
really
never
not,
mind,
dude.
Well, the internet disagrees with you.
There's only one Joker, and it's Mark Hamill. So that's my Joker. Guys.
Yeah, that is the only Joker.
The only Joker.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh sure. Sure. They're two different Jokers, but like after that, there really hasn't been a good one.
Oh, they're, Heath Ledger?
Heath Ledger was good, but...
People loved Heath Ledger.
All right, I take it back, sorry.
Mark Hamill's my favorite Joker.
But Mark Hamill is the only
Joker. I'm not saying he's not the, definitely a top-tier Joker, but to say he's the only Joker is just like, wow.
Just the only Joker to
swept...
only
what's
Joker
his face under the rug
heart
there? Didn't that guy, like, die from that role?
I guess. I don't know if that's ever been like directly tied, but for sure.
He died right after. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
right
apparently the role sent him into such a mental state where he was trying to get into the head of this psychopath that
I think that's the story.
I don't know if that was
conflated.
Yeah,
it's not really that. Like
He didn't leave a suicide note as far as I know, so it's all conjecture.
No, he just kind of OD'd kind of accidentally. He mixed too many different types of like anti-anxiety pills, yeah.
Well, that's why you should just be anxious.
Yeah, it's a great way to be.
That's
just be anxious,
like
nature intended.
Yep.
Is that a tiger?
Did you hear something?
It's such a crazy anxiety in general. It's an interesting thing because it's something that
it kept us alive.
Kept us alive, and
tens of thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Now we've kind of outgrown the need for it, and it's a it's almost like a vestigial response.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it still comes in handy for sure.
It does come in
handy,
but not nearly as.
Yeah, we don't need
it. Comes in handy, but for a different reason.
Yes. And our brains haven't like changed our anxiety response. We haven't evolved the anxiety response.
We're running on old hardware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fight or flight.
We need an upgrade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you look at the way the world has changed so rapidly, and I mean, we haven't had a chance to evolve.
No. Very
if
true.
We're
for
even
sure
evolving anymore. Some people don't even believe we're evolving at this point because there's a lot less natural selection. People live a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought what was fascinating is that like creatures that live shorter lives evolve so much faster because the in like the span of like if we take 20-30 years to reproduce or whatever, but like a cockroach takes like a week
because
like they just have generation after generation,
so many more generations,
churning. It's just so interesting. So we evolve so slowly as creatures that live a long time, and that's why we're never gonna make it anyway. Psycho.
Real pessimistic.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Just not us in the form that we exist in now.
No,
like
the three
robot
of us are fucked.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people we know are probably
specifically the people in this room,
but
especially you guys.
Of course.
I've already uploaded my brain
Dave
into a computer, so you guys can.
You've uploaded
it
your brain.
Yeah, so it's already.
God, if Jay is the first one, the sad state of society.
I'm cross-platforming right now.
Loaded it up into your Xbox.
But yeah, Psycho was good.
Psycho was good. I mean, listen, I got to imagine it was like a huge twist back when it came out.
Absolutely. First of all, it came out the main character that quickly, and like the whole shower scene was a big deal. And yeah, the cross-dressing, like, and the twist that Norman was the killer in the end.
It was like a triple,
we all knew the trope,
triple
we all know
twist
the trope
almost.
Exactly. That the twist of like he's actually the killer and his mom's actually dead. I mean, I figured that out like from 10 minutes after meeting the guy. But from back then, I imagine it was like...
blowed people's minds.
Like the villain is your protagonist's father. It's like when Star Wars did it, you're like, oh, shit!
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, it's like Star
Wars.
They're
doing that thing. Yeah.
Okay, I see where we're going with this. But yeah, it was an interesting twist. What I don't understand and I don't find believable is in both movies, you hear the mother's voice.
That's the one thing too. It's like, does he project her voice or something like that?
He has to, or
he
else
clearly
there's,
does. Yeah,
the female character, your original protagonist,
you're
meant
to assume that he can mimic her voice because he's that into. He's that subsumed into that personality.
But here's the problem. At the end of both movies, it's a female voice, and it occurs in Norman Bates' head.
Yes.
When he's in, like, the mm-hmm. whatever, the loony bin
room.
Famous
end scene with the blanket. Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. I would have liked to hear him talk at the end and, like, imitate that voice in
part
some way.
Part of the mystery.
That's... I don't know. I didn't like that.
Hitchcock does do a lot of that. He was the famous for his red herrings. Like,
it seems silly.
He sets up stuff and maybe doesn't pay it off because it's not really important.
That's feels like that's called bad writing. But okay, he's Alfred Hitchcock, so I guess he gets a
Dave,
pass.
Yeah, Dave. I don't know.
I mean, if I wrote something and the main character
like,
just
my friend,
died,
but I'm going to stand next to Hitchcock on this one.
I mean, you can listen. There's been lots of bad writers throughout history who've made a great living.
I think that's
and
like an incidental
great...
thing that they shouldn't have to prove to you at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if you pay the point of a red herring is that you don't pay it off. Yeah.
But the point of a red but you do pay it off in some way. Like you have to show that your red herring was misleading for some reason. You can't just have a hanging thread there. It doesn't go anywhere. Like, if you have a bunch of setups that don't pay off, that's just, and the ending comes out of nowhere, that's just bad writing.
No, red herring is like, it's a distraction from the main plot twists. It doesn't have to get paid off. There's plenty of instances where it doesn't get paid off.
Name another one.
Like, let's see. We've got, there's a whole thing in North by Northwest where it's like, he's
never seen it.
Spy.
Doesn't count.
All right, fair enough. Let's say the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. You'd never know what's in it. It's just.
But that's not a red herring. The whole movie revolves around the briefcase.
But it's also a red herring too. They don't pay it off. It's just like it's you're never.
It does
it
pay. I disagree entirely. Yeah, fair enough. It is paid off. The whole movie revolves around that briefcase. The fact that you don't know what's in it isn't a red herring. That's just an interesting feature of the film. You don't have to know what's in it. It's just anything of value could be in that briefcase.
I don't know, dude. I think if you're nitpicking that point, I don't know, man.
Oh, I wouldn't call it a nitpick. I'd call it a plot hole. But okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna. My understanding of red herrings is that you don't have to pay them off. But yeah. I mean, that's almost, I guess, maybe a different strokes for different folks, because that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, like it
when I'm
Think of the classic red herring bit is Clue, where they call out their red herrings.
Communism is red herring.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is that where they say it at the end of each? The only consistency between all the endings is that communism
was the red
a
herring.
Red herring. Mm-hmm. Like there's setup and payoff to that. You know, it's everything in the movie was meant to lead you to three different endings. The whole point was that you could write the movie the same up to a point, and then you could still have three different endings that made sense. Like they're almost making fun of the fact that red herrings are kind of a lame plot device.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's an argument you can make. That's certainly an argument.
It's supposed to misdirect you, not well, but it's supposed to misdirect you and like make you believe that maybe there is this crazy old woman up there and doesn't have to get paid off.
See here. But the thing is,
I'm meant to assume that he projected the voice, like, and he's just so subsumed to that personality. That's always been my canon.
But forget about the projecting of the voice for a second. What, in your opinion, is the red herring in this movie?
The money.
Yeah.
The $40,000. That's the real red herring.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's the real
and
red herring.
It does get paid off.
And his mother. The fact that there is a woman that is his mother.
Yes.
But that red herring gets paid off. His mother is dead. That's the twist.
I think that's a red herring then.
Okay.
Because that's the climax is when you realize that she's just a corpse.
Right.
Meanwhile,
right.
The money goes in the swamp. Nothing ever happens to the money.
Well, it gets dragged out at the end.
It was taken by the swamp. That's the last words about
I think the money is a true red herring.
Yes, yeah.
Right. feels like bad writing.
Again,
but
suspension
okay.
of disbelief, Brown. Like, yeah. I don't know why this bothers you.
I think you do, though, but that's kind of, you focus in on that sometimes, you do. And that's who you are as a viewer.
Yeah,
right?
Plot holes bother me. I like my movie to make sense
it's
critically.
Not plot holes. This isn't CinemaSins. Like,
yeah. It's, and like.
The mom talking is the plot hole. The money isn't a plot hole. The money
it's
is a red herring.
That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, like, why didn't your brain just go, oh, yeah, you can project his voice or whatever. He's crazy. He has some sort of vocal range that we barely know him. He's a psycho killer.
I guess.
And he's obsessed with his mother.
It bothered me more with
it's almost an immediate arrest where, like, you're not knowing. It's well, I can compare it to The Sopranos almost, but like this is your slice of life. This is your window, right? And yeah. It's like where The Sopranos was in media res, where that's why everybody was pissed off at that ending, but it was a giant years long in media res where you come in at the beginning at some point in the life and you leave at some point in the life. So I think that's with this, that's kind of how I would.
You're not really granted like the ability to see around the corners and ask the questions about what is outside of that scope. Because
like characterization almost, not that it doesn't matter in this to some extent, though. I would argue that to some extent it doesn't matter for certain characters.
I will agree with you, Dave. Like, it is the least believable part of it. 100%. Okay. It's the least believable part of the movie. And yeah, if I were to talk about all the threads that go in this movie, it's probably one of the weaker ones. Because yes, it's not explained. The audience just left to assume, but... Typically, I mean,
but my point is there's plenty of things that occur off screen that make sense that I don't need to see. Like, you don't see every minute of her driving. You don't see her pulling over to go to sleep. You just see her waking up. But you can, like, in your head, you can go, okay, it makes sense. She would have got tired. She would have pulled over. She would have gone to sleep. And the cop wakes her up on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. But when you have something that it didn't occur off screen, I mean, I guess it kind of did because you don't see it, but the audio occurs while you're watching it. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It would have made more sense if at the end of either movie, and again, it bothers me more with Vince Vaughn because I don't think Vince Vaughn can pull that voice off.
Yeah.
If at the end, when they're in the cell, if you actually had them speaking and doing this imitation lady voice, even if it was a bad imitation, I would have been happier with it then to be like, oh,
and that's
he's imitating the voice.
I don't think it needs that at all. I just don't think it needs it.
Yeah.
That would almost cheapen it to me. I don't know. Yeah. No, seeing it as I've seen it as I've seen it many times.
It just doesn't feel like it makes a lot of sense for everything else made sense. It's like in Fight Club. You see Fight Club and the whole time at the end you realize, and even if you go back and watch it again, you realize, oh my God, no one interacts with him with Tyler Durden but him. It'd be like the whole thing. You watch the movie, but there's one scene where he does interact with someone, and you go, "Oh, well, wait, that doesn't make sense. How did that fit in? How did that happen?"
Most people that I know who've seen this, and myself included, like that just washes by you. I don't know why it's such a sticking point. I don't know why.
It's not a sticking point. It's still a fine movie. It's a plot hole.
I wouldn't say it's a hole, but it's definitely one of the weaker story elements that drove the plot. Like it's there to drive the plot. It's there to make you go, oh, there might be a lady in there. It's there to make the people in the motel think, oh, there's a lady in there. But it was more of a distraction. Like it was or misdirection, I guess, if you will.
It would have been like if you'd actually
it's not really important to
seen a lady in there, and then they're like, oh,
well,
like
they kept saying they saw somebody in the window.
But that makes sense because it's either the old lady's corpse in the chair, or it's Vince Vaughn, or Norman Bates, walking around dressed up as the lady. That makes sense. To have a woman's voice come out of the house doesn't make any sense to me because there's no woman living in that house.
She kept looking at.
What's that?
Maybe it was on that record.
That would have made sense. If they had played a record at the end and it was her voice, I would have been like, oh, shit, that would have been even better. That would have been a great payoff.
Yeah.
It was a recording?
Yeah, that could
have been. Oh, that would have been fantastic. I never was
able to read what it said on that record, so I don't know.
Maybe. But now you're writing in the plot holes for the writer.
I enjoy when things are left to... That's just me as a reader. It's me as a viewer. I do like being left to draw my own conclusions at times. That's why I, at first, was like... thought my power went out with The Sopranos ending, so I was a little pissed at that. But as soon as I realized, like, I liked that because now I'm able to draw my own conclusion. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I don't necessarily, that's just me though. So I think that's like, if we could argue it's one of the weaker points of the plot, but it's, kind
this
of critically
minor.
What do you.
Oh, listen,
you
I'm not
liked.
Saying it ruined the whole movie by any means.
Yeah, no. I know.
Just if there is one weak point, actually, that's, here's my problem. When I watched the Vince Vaughn version, I started noticing a lot of things that I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Because it was the same plot. Oh,
right.
Repeated right after you watched the
other one. But I also don't remember specifically if those same issues arose in the original version. Because I didn't notice them in the original version. I noticed a lot of stuff that
was a better directed movie.
I mean, probably.
It was a much better
But I movie. I noticed a lot of plot problems, what I would call plot holes, in the Vince Vaughn version,
I would say it's
the remake.
We were able to go, oh yeah, I just saw this. I can kind of go, I can take, yes. Take more of a step.
But
back.
I almost wanted to then go and rewatch the original to see if those same plot holes were in the original. Like
no, I mean that was that
no that was that for sure was. He puts the broom in the trunk of the car when Vince Vaughn does when he or the mop, like the whole mop and bucket. I was like, I've never seen a trunk that can fit a whole full size mop.
I didn't notice that.
That's not gonna fly. There were just little things like that I were like, they don't. In fact,
but
I haven't been taking notes.
Did he put it on an angle or something?
That's what I was saying.
That is something I did. Even so,
try putting a mop in your trunk when you. Well, do you have?
I have a huge trunk.
Yeah, you have an SUV or whatever.
Got a lot of junk.
These
in
were
that
50s
trunk.
Cars.
You have a hatchback.
They were boats. Like,
well, that's what. But not the Vince Vaughn one.
No, it was a modern car.
Right.
Was,
exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, that's a little wonky.
I just don't think it worked in a modern.
Who gets in the shower before they turn on the water? You ever done that?
No. God, no.
They do it in the Vince Vaughn version. She gets in the shower, and then she turns on the water.
That's
makes
so dumb.
For a great shot.
Never do that.
But I was like, the water would be ice cold. Literally no one alive does that. You wait for the water to heat up before you get in the shower. And then I was like, shit, is that how they did it in the original? And I don't remember.
Because that was a better movie.
But if it was a shot-for-shot remake, you'd think it would have been the same shot.
You think, but you're...
But that's in almost every movie shot. Like, that's a shower scene. That's a trope. Like...
Maybe that is something.
Is it?
100%.
People getting into cold showers?
Yeah. 100%.
You never see anybody
you never
wasting
see anybody,
time
right?
holding their arm in. You never see that.
That's
movie.
A catch-22.
You're telling me there's no movie scene where they turn on the shower before they get
I'm
in?
I'm not telling you.
I'm not thinking you need to put your toe in. I need to watch them adjusting the dial like incessantly. But turn the shower on before you get in it.
No, there are movies. There
but
are.
That's a catch-22 because I feel like then you would complain if they're waiting there. You'd tell me that's wasted time.
No, you could cut to something. You can manipulate time in all sorts of ways in a movie. You can cut to something else that occurs at the same time. I mean, listen, every countdown in a movie, you could go, that took more than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But the logic behind that is when you're switching shots, you're showing things that are going on concurrently.
Yeah.
Correct.
So the timing issue isn't so much a problem for me. It's the fact that no one alive has ever gotten in the shower and turned it on afterwards.
It was a different time.
Because you go, that's cold!
It was a different time.
And if she had gone, that's cold, I would have been like, okay.
I guess she deserved to die, really.
She really did. At that point,
she was crazy.
Absolutely. There were a couple of things that were this not a plot hole whatsoever, but what was with the hands jewelry box? Jewelry box with the hands on it?
I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah, I'm not.
They made, there was a shot that focused in on it in
was
both
it,
versions.
Was it when she was going through the house?
It was when... I think she was right before
what's her name? I forgot her character's name.
The sister, whoever played the sister in both movies.
Investigating.
It's she scares herself in the mirror.
Yes.
Right before she scares herself, there's a shot where it like focuses in on what I think is a jewelry box.
It's like death hands, like a death mask.
No, it was I don't think so. It was like brass hands
you would bronze baby shoes and stuff like that, like
you bronze people's dead hands?
They made death masks, like
but
display.
Okay, maybe it's a tradition that I've never heard of.
It might be some weird like old Gothic tradition.
Maybe.
I think it is.
But in that case I didn't get that.
Yeah, well, that was 19.
Again, not a plot hole. It's just like this weird thing that I was like, what does that mean?
There was a lot in the... I mean, it's a very timeless movie, but...
It's like the Chekhov's gun
thing. There are...
If you're going to put a gun on the wall and focus a shot on it, you'd better use it.
That's Alfred Hitchcock. He focuses on her shit.
You're like, look at this jewelry box with hands.
But that's
not
him.
Important.
He'll make you focus on something, and then it means absolutely nothing just to fuck with you. He really just wanted to, like, fucking... pull people's legs and shit. Like,
just call that bad writing.
It was just his style.
All right. Well, I mean, some people have styles that are bad.
I think you're attributing bad to like creative decisions. And I think in your opinion, it's bad. Fine. That's fine.
All right. I mean,
I think objectively, a lot of people would argue, but
I mean, objectively, you could argue, but I mean, if you have a bunch of set offs and pay off, in a movie that don't pay off, I just think that's poor writing.
I'm never watching Citizen Kane, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You will.
I've never seen it.
That movie. Like,
never seen it. It's a bunch of useless stuff that doesn't mean anything.
I want all the time. There's a lot of misdirection.
I want you to watch Citizen Kane.
Like, what if you just zoomed in on someone's foot for 3 minutes?
No, it's not like that.
And then, like, it wasn't important.
The story jumps around so much, and there's a lot of inconsistency.
I want you to watch Citizen Kane, and I'm curious as to you. I want you to do
it.
We can do an episode on it if you want.
That's fine. I'll do an episode on it. I'd say it is a landmark movie, and like
it's
good. I mean,
it's certainly a 1930s movie.
It
but
is,
it's a
but
good,
I mean, I've obviously heard of it because it's Citizen Kane. But
so much, like, there's so much that groundbreaking, and it's just like so influential. It's the first movie of its kind to do the flashback, like
all the pioneering cinema.
I'd be curious to see your reaction.
I would
to
be
Citizen
too.
Kane.
I'll check it out. We can do it when I come back.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do a Citizen Kane spotlight episode.
You would hate David Lynch though. Any David Lynch movie. He never answers any questions.
Who's David Lynch? Give me a David Lynch movie.
Twin Peaks, Dune, the 1980s.
Yeah, did you watch Lost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched Lost.
What did you think?
I thought...
Because I think that's a prime example of dangling plot threads.
See, I don't entirely agree. Like, what dangling plot threads?
In Lost?
Yeah.
Where they leave you to kind of draw your own conclusions?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with drawing your own conclusions when it comes to some things, but...
The smoke monster?
The smoke monster was explained. It was the brother. The evil brother.
But how did he turn into the smoke? And maybe I'm wrong because I haven't seen it in a while.
He was cursed. It was part of the thing where the two brothers when they killed his dad or whatever.
The summoning of him. You know
what
I
mean?
The
summoning
the,
of him.
Where the Dharma Initiative is able to summon him and then Ben is able to summon him.
I got nothing on this. I never watched
it. It's some sort of I don't remember exactly because it's been a while.
I don't
too.
Think like there's a bunch of stuff that's unexplained in there to the point where they had to release an epilogue. To explain some of the stuff that was unexplained.
Listen, you're not going to get me to defend Lost as a flawless TV
series.
No,
but I liked it because, in spite of, I guess, or because of, where you were able to kind of come up with headcanon for stuff. So that's why I'm wondering. Like, the Dharma Initiative, the food drops. Why were the food drops going on? So they had to release... I think we talked about
this. We did talk
too.
About this.
Did you end up watching the epilogue?
I did not.
Yeah, so they deal with Walt. They deal with... the food supply drops, and there's one more thing they deal with. To the point where, like, those big three things.
Well, first of all, I don't love the mystery box idea to begin with, because you're inevitably going to set stuff up that you don't pay
off. I like the mystery box.
But there's a lot of stuff that I thought they did a good job paying. Was it perfect? No. But there was a lot of, I mean, you learned about the smoke monster, you learned about the history of the island, the fact that there was the two brothers kind of explained a lot in this supernatural situation. The temples were all ancient temples from the history of these two brothers.
Did they go over what destroyed? That was another one. Why the temple got destroyed or why, like, it was...
I don't even remember the temple being destroyed.
Yeah.
See, it's been so long since I've seen it.
Yeah. There was a bunch of stuff that at the time a bunch of people would complain about, and I was like, it's just fucking headcanon it, dude. They don't need to explain everything.
They don't need to explain everything, but they need to explain some things. And they need to explain things consistently. Like that's more my problem is the consistency. If you have one scene where he's doing the voice and other people can hear it, and then the scene at the end where it's just in his head.
I'll take a compromise with you. If when he busted in on her finding the corpse, projecting the voice as he screamed, coming at her. That would be timely for the moment and not just thrown in at the end, and for you to be like, oh, there's the voice. He was the one doing it the whole time.
Yeah, I would have liked something, some consistency. It's not the fact that you have to work out some of it in your head. It's just the fact that there was an inconsistency there where another person clearly heard this woman's voice, and then at the end, it only existed in his head. I would have even if he took the blanket from the police officer and was like, thank you, Sonny. Like, I would have been like...
Oh, I just still assume he had that ability. I mean...
Or if they said, we found a recording of his dead mother.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Would have been something. It's just... That was one of the major things that bothered me in both films. And most of the stuff that bothered me was just in the Vince Vaughn version, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
There was...
Fair enough.
Then there was just some stupid activity. Like, in the Vince Vaughn version, when... Is it Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah.
Is it Mortensen or Morgensen?
You had it.
Mortensen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm proud of you, Dan.
He's confronting he's confronting Norman Bates, and like at this point they're like really suspicious of him, and they're pretty sure that something's happened to his girlfriend in this hotel, and he's like what'd you do with the money? What'd you do with the money? And then he turns his back on the guy who he's pretty sure is a murderer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And gets hit in the head with a golf club.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it was more of a struggle in the 60s one, but yeah, he literally just like turns around and
In the 60s one they have a fight and he gets overpowered, which I'm like, okay, I can see that.
That was more believable.
But
they were face to face.
In the Viggo Mortensen one, he's like, just like,
fuck you, I'm gonna turn around.
Yeah. He's like, I'm pretty sure you killed my girlfriend. Hey, that's a nice chair. And he turns around and gets hit. And I was like,
I know.
What? So that was just stupid. I wouldn't call it a plot hole, but it was
They could have staged that fight a little better.
It was bad directing. Yeah, it was bad directing.
That was Gus Van Sant, not a good director.
Not
in this remake.
What was with the Arbogast murder in the second one? In the first, they did the same thing where they push him down the stairs, and it's like that cool camera angle that follows him down. Uh-huh. But while he was getting murdered in the Vince Vaughn one,
fucking weird.
There were like cuts of like,
yes, that was a directorial choice.
Something weird,
really weird. It was like,
I don't know,
a naked woman with like BDSM gear, and then like a dead animal or something like that.
Yeah,
it was fucking weird. That felt very 90s, didn't it? Like that was such a experimental 90s director thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it felt like. It felt stupid though.
It was. Like the rest
it's
of the
like
movie,
what
it
you would see in American Horror Story.
Yes, exactly.
Or just like scary things spliced in.
Or like, well, usually AHS where they'll cut to like things that make sense.
Maybe the studio
like,
was
or
like
relate to it.
Maybe the studio wanted,
if it was like a scene of Arbogast doing something else in his past or something, I could.
Maybe the studio was like, we needed to be more horror-y, and then he was just like, fuck it, I'll throw these.
Yeah, that could be it.
Just to get a bump up the rating or something.
It was
like
a bad note by the studio because it didn't make any fucking sense. Took me right out of it.
The whole
exactly. I was like, it stopped me dead. I was like. And they ruined that classic falling down the stairs scene with that. Like, what the fuck?
And then I was thinking, like, is that going to come up later? Are those flashes
it
like
was just apparently
like you get like Rey's flashes of in Star Wars, you get the her vision, and you're like, oh, that's all going to come up later, and some of it does.
Oh,
and then I was
dies.
Like, oh, is that going to come up? No,
and he dies.
I was just there for no reason.
That was a weird choice.
Yeah,
I didn't like that either.
I didn't like that either.
That was fucking stupid.
They were doing something, and I don't. Again, this is in the Vince Vaughn one. I don't remember if they did it in the original. But where Arbogast in particular, and I don't know, I feel like other people too, they're always getting in on the wrong side of the car.
I didn't notice that at all.
I specifically know, and I pointed it out to Christine, and she was like, yeah.
Maybe they flipped the film, but you think they would have been more consistent with that? I don't know.
No, because you could see in some scenes that they were reaching across from the side they were driving on to open the opposite door and scooch across the seat and get out. And I was like, I don't know. They're making a statement about cars versus cars in England or something. I don't know what this is.
I didn't even notice that.
It was just this weird thing that I just didn't understand.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. That's weird, though.
It'd be like,
are you sure your film wasn't backwards? Like,
no, I'm positive. Because the driver's steering wheel was on the right side,
that's
on the appropriate
weird.
Side.
Maybe he liked bench seats in cars.
Loves
people reaching over to open doors.
It's just this weird thing. And again, specifically in the Vince Vaughn version.
I didn't notice that at all. I was mostly checked out during that one. That was so shitty.
I'll tell you what I didn't need.
What? Oh, no, I know. I know what you're going to say.
Oh, what, Brandon?
Is it the explicit masturbation noises?
Oh, the scene where Vince Vaughn jerks it?
Yeah, like there was enough subtext in the original movie for you to put it together. There was no, didn't need to be these salami noises. Like, ugh, ew. ew.
I'll tell
you
what.
That was so gross.
It was left up to interpretation
exactly.
In the first movie.
Most people were like, okay.
Where you could be like, oh, maybe
if
is he a voyeur? Yes, he was definitely creeping on her.
Yeah.
But then to see Vince Vaughn making like the jerking it face and slumping his shoulders like he's
so
like
gross.
Jerking off and that those sound effects. And I was like, what did he do with it? Just jizz on the wall? What
that
the fuck just happened?
That thing is just coated in white. It's just, it looks like your wall. It just looks like yours.
That's how I painted it. That's how you can tell. That's not paint drying, fellas.
Oh, God.
I was totally uncalled
so
for
gross.
And unnecessary. And after
Again,
watching
like
the first one and then that one, I was like, okay, well, the first one was fine without that.
It was just like that. That's where it was like, you didn't need
right?
that.
That's when I started taking notes.
Again, it was
that's
like,
when I was like, okay,
was
I have to write some
shot,
of this stuff down.
It was shot for shot, but then the stuff that they did add or tweak was completely unnecessary and cheapened the whole experience for sure.
That's why I said it's mostly shot for shot and mostly line for line.
Yeah, you're right.
But there are some
minor,
definite exceptions
tiny differences.
Where you go, okay.
Yeah.
And some of them were like, okay, they changed the money amount. Yeah, that made sense. Mm-hmm. She talked about her Walkman.
She just has one line where she's like, I'm going to get my Walkman because she had a Walkman the whole time.
And also, why did she say that?
To be like, hey, I added a line. Maybe one writer needed a credit or something. Who the fuck knows?
Again, it wasn't like the Walkman was...
I think he just trolled us. I think the movie was just a giant troll.
And it wasn't like they needed a line there where in the original one she says, let me get my purse.
Do anything, yeah.
Or let me get my something you wouldn't have in the 90s. And then they had to update it like they had to update the sum of the money.
I have no idea why that was there.
It was just a random line they added.
So I just feel like he was like... He just felt like adding weird things to make it more timely. I don't even know. I think he was just fucking with us, really.
And then they updated... They Arbogast does not ask Norman Bates in the remake if he slept with her.
Oh, that's the other difference.
And
okay,
they took that out.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, it's not like that was an inappropriate line. It was fine.
It's
made
weird
sense.
Out of all the weird, edgier stuff that they did.
Yeah, they put in Vince Vaughn jerking it, but they're like, we can't ask if he slept with her. That'd be weird.
That was weird. Yeah.
So the changes that they made, other than the quantity of money,
I think it was just them.
Didn't make any sense
to me.
I'm
starting to think Gus Van Sant was just fucking with us. Like, he just made this movie as a big fuck you. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, it was a garbage fire from where I stood.
It was horrible. But see the 1961 if you've never...
If you've never seen it,
it's worth a watch. Completely spoiled it for you now.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a watch.
The 1961 is fantastic in my book. It's not a perfect film, but it's one of the best. It's one of the best Hitchcocks, for sure.
Do not watch the 2000.
Just avoid the Vince Vaughn one at all costs.
It's the Vince Vaughn one makes less sense than the original one. The original one, the tone is consistent. Mm-hmm. The suspense makes it, even though you see what's coming, you see the twist coming.
But that's Hitchcock. Like, if nothing else, you feel that Hitchcock tension that he's able to draw through the
and that's
whole
what it's
fucking
good at.
Movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the other one, you're just like, all right. A, I know what happens.
It's in color.
B, okay, it's got Vince Vaughn in it.
And part of being able to call that twist is being knowing media in 2019.
Exactly.
Yeah,
oh.
If you were an audience member
been
in
Shyamalan
1960.
To death. We know twists. We've seen Hitchcock, we've seen Shyamalan, and every other twist in between.
Yeah, as soon as you don't see the face of the mother when she murders the woman in the shower,
you know.
You're like, oh, well, that's... It's obviously Norman Bates.
It's clear, but yeah, that was fucked up that they killed the main character.
Is that where the Simpsons
every?
Is that where Skinner's like mother thing?
Oh, totally.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then, watching it again, I was like, yeah, okay.
I think that's
totally
has to be right.
Yes,
this is like, one of those movies where a lot of references.
Yeah. Yes,
go back to that
because it's always in the Simpsons mother. That shot of the big house on the hill in the shadow in the window.
Yep.
No mother.
Yep.
Okay, one more thing.
Here we go.
So, Arbogast, which Arbogast is probably my favorite character.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
In the original one.
In the original one.
In the original
one.
Bill
Macy's okay.
William H. Macy is fantastic.
He's a great actor. But.
But I thought his performance was a little bit...
More watered down than...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The original Arbogast was like very...
Hey, I'm a proud detective.
Yeah. I thought his mannerisms were better and his questioning was
better. Exactly. Better interviewing and questioning.
He pulled it off as a PI better.
Yeah. I think they had more of them back in the day, probably.
Probably.
That's true.
You know,
yeah,
there was no internet. You had to get privatized to find people that didn't want to be found.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked in the original movie the how she's piecing together what's happening. Like, while she's in the car and you can hear other people's voices in her head where they're like, I don't know.
Oh,
she
yeah.
hasn't come in yet? I don't know. Maybe we should call her sister. And, oh, her sister's worried, too. And she's imagining what's happening.
What's happening that day.
You know, yeah. So that was all good. But... And she imagines how the guy is like, I'm going to find her. And then you see the private eye and you're like, oh, that's how the guy clearly hired a private eye. But so Arbogast, he goes to the hotel, he questions Norman Bates and Norman Bates is, and he's like, you can come change the sheets with me. And then he very obviously doesn't go into the first room, which I was like, okay, super, like you're the worst killer ever.
Did he do the handwriting match in both movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
Guest book. Okay. I just want to make sure because I blinked during the
again, also book. Horrible murderer, where I was like, you wouldn't have taken that out of the guest book.
Rip that page right the fuck out.
I can't believe you haven't been caught yet. Burn okay. That whatever. Book. But my problem more is when he comes back to the house, he calls the girlfriend and the sister and the boyfriend. And he's like, I think I've, there's something I'm missing. There's something I'm missing. I'm going to go back. And so he goes back and he gets out of his car and he's like, Bates. And you see, Norman Bates. I'm sorry.
That's your confusion. Yeah, that's when.
That's when they go
comes,
as a family.
Sam Loomis comes. Yeah.
Because
Sam Loomis randomly goes there and then goes back to Lila Crane. Lila Crane. He goes there and like calls out for Arbogast and that's where you see him by the lake.
Right.
Or the pond. But What were you saying? I'm sorry.
In the remake, and again, I don't think they did this in the original. I think they screwed it up in the remake.
Probably.
Before Arbogast pulls up, you're watching Norman Bates, and he goes around the corner of the motel, the opposite corner away from the house. And then Arbogast shows up, and he looks for him. And then he goes up to the house to look for the mother. He wants to talk to the mom because he thinks the mom saw the woman also. He still thinks the mom is a real person at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes up to the house. He goes inside.
And Norman was already upstairs.
He's already upstairs. Would he climb the drain pipe?
That's a good point.
How did he get into the bedroom?
I think old houses had back doors. They definitely did.
Sure, sure. There. Actually, I think there is a back door. I think you even see it before. But how does he get up past him? He comes in the front door. The stairs are right there.
It's a big old house. They had service stairs. I'm sure.
Okay.
Big old house is definitely
service stairs that went right into that bedroom. I just...
I don't know.
Okay. That's fine. Again, that didn't drive me nuts, but I was like...
He has to have slightly superhuman abilities to stay one step ahead.
I just don't...
Not just a strong, tall guy.
No, that's fair. And Vince Vaughn did play a more intimidating,
more imposing
physical presence.
Yes.
Because the original guy who played him, who, Brandon?
Anthony Perkins.
Anthony Perkins, Tony Perk. He was a tall guy, but he was very lanky.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I mean, I could take this guy.
You almost felt bad for him. I feel so much, you feel much more sympathy for the Norman Bates.
You do.
The original, than you do for Vince Vaughn.
You feel a lot of sympathy for
Vince
Norman
Vaughn
Bates.
Is evil from the minute you see him, and then this guy's like, evil, but tortured. Like,
you know when I lost the sympathy for Vince Vaughn?
When was it?
The birds?
When he jerks off.
Oh, yeah.
when you have an explicit Vince Vaughn jerking a scene.
Me too.
That's when you lost.
That's kind of when I check out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The birds all made sense. The bird, because the formaldehyde, and he's preserving things.
I love that
things,
character part. Like that characterization of him too.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course he works with cadavers, sort of. But
and they also talk about it, and where they're like, oh, it's like a weird hobby, but at the same time,
it's such like a great scene.
The stuffed birds weren't that weird. I mean, you go into somebody's study, and there's some stuffed animals. I'm not going to be like,
yeah, but if it's a guy who lives by himself,
I guess so.
And he's already kind of giving me weird, creepy vibes.
And there was a whole bird sanctuary in his basement in the Vince Vaughn version.
Yeah, they had to like make the whole like huge basement where in the other one it was just like the ice box, the cold storage.
I was like, okay, I guess whatever. I
had to give it a big horror basement.
Mm-hmm.
They really they could have steered more into horror, but they gave it like just enough like, hey, here's one little horror cue. Those weird cut in images like that was supposed to kind of shock people. When they could have just if you want
totally
to make a slasher, fucking make a slasher. Like, make it gory, make it go nuts. Don't try to rebake the old one and get a rebaked piece of shit movie.
I think they had made it a not shot for shot remake.
Yeah, they'd make it take more liberties.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like the idea of a shot for shot remake.
It was interesting.
Theory,
it's an interesting experiment.
But in practice, it just.
So far.
Especially if you watch one and then the other.
Yeah,
I think that was.
Don't ever do that.
It definitely spoils it because I was bored.
Like I said, I went and made a sandwich when she was driving up to the hotel.
Yeah.
I missed the whole dealership scene because I was making a sandwich.
That was interesting too with the cop.
Scene. It's again, in the original, it was meant to build tension. The cop's sitting across the street. She's really trying to hurry to get that car, get the California plates, and get out of there. And she's like, I'll just pay cash, whatever. Like,
he was a terrible cop, too.
He was an awful cop.
I was like, you should stop her.
Like,
you should definitely stop her.
Like, you should probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess she went past his jurisdiction, and that was that.
I recognize everyone in the remake, I recognize.
Oh, yeah. That was, oh, God. I just looked it up the other day, too.
I know.
He's such a phenomenal actor, too. He's like the dad in Psych, I want to say.
Maybe.
Oh God, here we go. What's his fucking name? He was like the block leader in Judge Dredd, in the beginning of Judge Dredd.
Yes.
Yeah, he picks up the gun and explodes. James Remar. Yeah, great character actor. That guy.
That's him.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
You know him in a million things, Jay. I promise.
Oh, he's one of those he's one of those guys who plays a million different roles.
Yeah, he's in a million things.
Little roles, nothing major.
And he was just in it for that hot second.
Yep.
He was good.
Yep.
Yeah, they had the talent.
I did like the salesman at the used car lot, where he's like, it's the first time I've ever seen a customer high pressure the salesman.
Yeah.
That was all. There were a lot of really good character interactions that went on particularly in the original.
Mm-hmm.
That really made the movie good.
Yes.
It wasn't the action. It wasn't from a 2019 perspective.
Yeah,
it wasn't even the twists.
Yeah.
It was really the character interactions. All the characters were
well
written.
Suspense that's kind of drawn out of you throughout the whole thing,
right.
I feel like. It's a very tight movie, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
Go back
yeah.
to that. Like, it's tight. If you could say nothing about Hitchcock movies, there's no excess fat. Like,
yeah.
it's... It, and he does that for pacing reasons and to keep you so invested or, like, so on the edge of your seat, especially. Like, North by Northwest, you don't know what's happening in that movie. I love that movie.
That's just the direction.
It's crazy.
He's just looking at Compass the whole movie.
Although, if you start watching other Hitchcock movies, you'll notice that he likes to wrap his endings up like that. Like in North by Northwest, I'm not going to spoil it, but the ending, like climactic action scene is filmed in like high speed motion. It's so weird. Yeah. He has this thing of like, okay, like we got there. We're done. And then like the movie ends.
Because it's
right
the
after.
Journey. It's
yeah,
not the end.
Exactly.
For him, it's not,
mm-hmm.
the, it's
yes.
not the ending.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not about the payoff.
Yeah, it's the getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would definitely recommend the 60s version.
It's still a classic.
You could skip the Vince Vaughn one. Go watch Swingers instead.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say.
Even some of the stupid movies he's been in. Like,
how about freaking Viggo Mortensen's really bad Southern accent, which wasn't present
oh,
in
yeah.
the first one, too.
He's like the most uncowboyish cowboy.
I know.
He's a cowboy in everything. Even when he's playing Aragorn.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's a cowboy, Aragorn.
But
I gotcha.
Where is he from? South Africa or something?
Oh, I maybe
yeah,
either that
so
or Australia.
Like, you can always tell he's like not. He doesn't have that accent. He's just affecting it. And it's,
yeah,
it's very obvious in this one.
Yeah, he's a weird one.
And then he like kisses her, Lila Crane, and you're like, you were just hooking up with her dead sister.
Yeah,
that was something in the 2013 one, which I was like, I don't think that he did that in the first one.
I don't think so either.
I mean, you meant to assume that they bonded over this fucked up situation,
right?
To deal
right.
with, but like he was totally macking on that
mm-hmm.
while trying to find the body of his fucking ex, or well. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He did not seem to be bothered by the fact that
no.
she was dead at all.
It was weird. It was a weird characterization.
Yep.
A lot of, among the many weird choices in the 2013 one.
Yeah. A lot of weird choices. 2013?
2000.
I'm sorry.
2003? 2001? 1998.
I don't know where I came
from. Where'd you get 2013?
I don't know.
Jesus.
Guys. All right.
Don't watch the 2013 one.
No, it's
you're
terrible
not going to find
one.
It. It's a bootleg knockoff.
It's even worse.
I'm sorry.
It's a Bollywood one.
Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about with the psych? The psycho?
P-S-Y-C-H-O.
Yes, spell it correctly.
I had to write it 100 times because I spelled it wrong when I was in elementary school. it was great. I don't know. The score, too, is classic. Like that, it's such an iconic
score. The score? Who won? 5-3?
It was the Yankees.
It was a tie. That's why it was so suspenseful. They had to go into overtime.
No, that music in it was so good.
Oh, the music. The music was good, too.
Yeah, oh, God.
I don't know what
classic.
That has to do with the score, but...
I hate you.
Well, on that note, we'll see you guys next week, wink, wink, where we're going to continue with our horror Halloween...
extravaganza.
Bonanza, yeah. And
extravaganza.
Extravaganza. And we're going to do The Thing from Another World, more commonly known as The Thing,
mm-hmm.
And The Thing with Kurt Russell.
Yes.
One of my favorites. So we'll see you all next week. It's been fun. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.